It's time to take a nostalgic journey back in time and explore how a key component of computing, the transistor, was invented, accepted, and changed our lives. It's staggering to think that this revolutionary breakthrough that has impacted our lives in so many ways was still on the drawing board at Bell Labs only 50 years ago, about the time the babies called boomers were first being born and the term bit was first being used to refer to a binary digit. Just as peace was returning to the world, three Bell scientists were assigned the task of improving the phone system. Built on a network of vacuum tubes and mechanical relays, the problem was that these two key components behaved like today's overworked employees. They either burned out or malfunctioned. This trio, headed by William Shockley, was asked to focus on things called semiconductors, a class of materials such as sand that semiconduct electricity. They sit somewhere between an insulator like rubber and a conductor like copper. Their photoelectric properties had shown promise since the 1920s, but had not been fully developed. Shockley, along with his teammates John Bardeen and Walter Brattain, were said to have worked unbelievably well together with perfect rapport. Guess they weren't part of a committee. They focused on the property silicon, the chief component of sand, and also germanium, and after a relatively short 2 years, rolled out the first crude transistor. It was a dab of germanium on a wooden board, a couple of wires, and two metal posts. Frankly, it looked like a scout project from a boy who hadn't quite passed electronic merit badge than a device that would revolutionize the world. As with many inventions, acceptance came slowly. When Bell Labs first showed the public its device, it got about as much enthusiasm as a documentary on file cabinets. It wasn't until the early 50s, when Shockley refined his invention into the junction transistor, that the importance of the device sunk in. For their efforts, the three inventors got to divvy up more than $38,000 in Nobel Prize money. At the time the transistor was unveiled, AT&T's Bell Labs was fulfilling an antitrust exemption and, as a result, had to license its patents to any U.S. company that wanted them at no cost. Surprisingly, very few companies jumped at the offer. But one small Japanese company did. Being a non-U.S. firm, they had to pay a stiff $25,000 license fee. The company was so small it could barely find the money. Eventually they did, however, and while you may not know the name they had back then, the Tokyo Telecommunications Laboratory, you may recognize the name they changed to in 1956. Sony. While the vacuum tube worked and acted much like a transistor, boosting electricity as it came in one side and went out the other, they were bulky and burned out. The transistor was less expensive to make and to operate. It was smaller, more reliable, and rugged. What used to take up a whole room could now fit on your fingernail. If your TV clicker were based on vacuum tubes, it would be bigger than a Winnebago. It was the transistor that proved Thomas Watson, the chairman of IBM, wrong in 1943 when he said, "I think there is a world market for, maybe five computers." And it was the transistor that saved me from hearing about the evils of long hair as the family sat patiently in front of the warming up RCA, waiting for Ed Sullivan to come on. But as with all inventions, we sometimes reluctantly embrace the future and struggle to say goodbye to the past. And it was hard saying goodbye to that box of vacuum tubes Dad kept in the basement for 40 years. They sat there collecting dust while the stories about what he was going to do with them aged like a fine wine. It was just a few months ago that we hauled them out of the basement for a garage sale. We marked them $5, but some kids haggled us down to 50 cents. I thought they were going to fulfill Dad's dream of tracking UFOs and speaking to aliens, so I threw in some wire. There I was in the driveway of the old homestead. Full of hope, I pulled them aside and asked them if they were going to build an intergalactic radio transceiver. They said, "What are you, nuts?" I said, "Well, what are you going to do with them?" They said, "Put them on the back fence and shoot BBs at them." I bought them back for $50, then paid $38.50 to pack and ship them across the country. They're in my basement now, where they'll collect dust for another 50 years, right next to a box of 78s.
Please fast forward the tape to the end, then turn it over for continued listening.